It's a blessing to have everyone here this morning, and hope and pray this message will be a blessing to you and an encouragement. Today's message concerns, a controversial character, the man by the name of Jephthah. He's the man known for making a vow to sacrifice the first thing that came to greet him out of his house as he returned from battle. Well, to his surprise and dismay, his daughter was the first one to come out and meet him. Accounts found in Judges chapter 11. The Bible says he kept his vow. That's the controversy. You see, the question is, did he physically sacrifice her, or did he sacrifice her by sending her to live in a life, a life of solitude? I'm under the impression that Jephthah did not slay his daughter, but set her aside. And there's two reasons. Basically, the first one, it's contrary to Scripture to do that. And I don't believe that he would have done that. I don't believe anyone, like the priest, would have assisted in that, because it's contrary to the Scriptures. And secondly, you'll also find in that passage that she bewailed her virginity and her opportunity to have a family. That's what she was concerned about. And so I believe that she was sent off to live in a life of solitude. Now, the rest of that message will have to wait. I'm sorry I gave you a teaser on that. That's for the future. But that's the controversy with this man. Here's what makes it even more interesting. You find in Hebrews chapter 11, in the middle of this chapter of faith, we find Jephthah. Verse 32, Hebrews 11 says, "And what shall I more say, for the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets." I was reading where one man said, you know what, if there would have been two Jephthahs in the Bible, we'd have no problem. We'd have picked the other one. But there's one that this can be dealing with, and that's this man here from Judges chapter 11. So here we have a man with a little bit of controversy. I don't believe there's much, but a little bit of controversy. And find him mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11. So today we're going to examine his faith. Basically, we're going to be taking a quick look at Judges 11, the first part of Judges 11. And notice, hopefully we'll see that this man put his faith in God and the Lord blessed him. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you for the blessings you've provided. I pray that you'll guide us and direct us through this message. Please open up your word to us. Help us to not only read it and see it, but to understand it. And also, Lord, I pray that we each apply the teachings that we find here today. Please bless us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The message this morning is titled, Faith Found in Rejection. Faith Found in Rejection. Like the others, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32 just gives a list of men. Like the others in that passage, Jephthah was also a leader of Israel. He was exalted to lead the people and to be a blessing to the people and to lead them against their enemy so that way they could be removed from the oppression. Another thing about Jephthah, like the other men, he lived in a difficult time. You know, you'll find these men and women in Hebrews chapter 11, most of them lived in difficult times, whether it was during a time of corruption or a time of oppression. There were difficult times, and they chose to put their faith in God. Now, as far as Jephthah was concerned, the nation of Israel had become corrupt. And because of that corruption and that desire to pull away from God, they became oppressed by their enemy. You know, that seems to be a pattern found in the Bible. And not just in the Bible, you also find it in history, where nations that live unto themselves and allow corruption in often give way to oppression, which comes next. And that's a pattern we find in the Scriptures. Jephthah proved, though, and this is what I want us to notice this morning. Jephthah proved that it is possible to live by faith in a corrupt society. You know, sometimes we wake up in the morning and we see the direction that our nation is going, and we may think, well, how can we live by faith in a nation like this? How can we continue? We find here this morning that there was a man who proved it is possible to live by faith. I'm going to just give you two thoughts concerning Jephthah this morning. Two thoughts. The first one is, by faith, Jephthah was able to continue. Turn with me, if you would, to Judges chapter 11. I'm going to read the first three verses. It says, "Now Jephthah the Gileadite was a mighty man of valor, and he was the son of an harlot. And Gilead begat Jephthah. And Gilead's wife bare him sons, and his wife's sons grew up. And they thrust out Jephthah and said unto him, Thou shalt not inherit in our father's house, for thou art the son of a strange woman. Then Jephthah fled from his brethren and dwelt in the land of Tob, and there were gathered vain men to Jephthah and went out with him." The first thought I'll give you this morning is that by faith, this man was able to continue. Notice, the Bible makes it very clear up front that he was not born into an ideal situation. How many of you got to choose where you were born? I didn't. God didn't ask me that question. Not where, not when. That just happened. The Lord provided that and allowed that to take place. Jephthah was born, the Bible tells us, to the son of a harlot. According to Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 2, he was excluded or was to be excluded from the congregation of the Lord. You see, the son of a harlot was dishonorable to the Jews and unworthy of acceptance. I tell you what, from the very beginning, this man had a difficult time. And as he grew older, the Bible begins by telling us he was a mighty man of valor. I believe Jephthah was bold. He was courageous. You know, there are some young people, we can already see that character trait. You know, you see people, young kids playing, and some of them you can see are bold and courageous. Sometimes we may think it's foolishness, but sometimes it is boldness. They're willing to do anything. Evidently, at a young age, this was seen. He was a mighty man of valor, which also proves out later. But the Bible tells us as he grew, or as when he became older, that his brothers refused him. They rejected him. And he was sent away and had to live a life that was separate from the others. Now, this wasn't like Joseph. They didn't go and throw him into a pit and sell him into slavery. They rejected him for who he was because of his birth. Now, you think of this. First, rejection is difficult. Nobody enjoys being rejected. Even when it begins as children, you know, you don't get picked to be on a team. You're like, oh, man, no one likes to be rejected. Or you don't, you know, as you get older, try to get into a college, you don't get accepted. That's difficult. Maybe at work, you don't get a position you're hoping to get. That's difficult. Rejection of any kind can be discouraging and difficult to deal with. Now, you think of Jephthah. He was rejected for who he was, not what he had done or what he had accomplished. He was rejected because of who he was. Now, if it had been something that he had done, you know, you can fix that. You can say, well, let me see. If I need this skill, I can get this skill. Or if I need to fix that, I can fix that. But when someone rejects you for who you are, you can't change that. There's nothing he could do. He was refused and he was sent away. Now, that must have been difficult for this young man as he grew amongst his family to be sent away like that. You know, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, faced a similar rejection. You know, when he came to earth, he presented himself as King of Kings to the people of Israel. And the Bible says they rejected him. They didn't want him. You know, today he is still God. He is still King of Kings. Nothing has changed. But you realize many people still reject him for who he is. They don't want him. Reject him. Refuse his salvation. Refuse his ways. And so our Lord and Savior, I believe, more than anyone else, understands rejection. Well, Jephthah was rejected. They didn't want him. They sent him off. You know, I think at this point it'd probably be safe to say that nobody would have dreamed that this young man would end up leading the nation. I'm sure nobody even thought of that. When he was sent away, refused, I imagine others in Israel thought, oh, there goes Jephthah. You know, wish him best, but that's just the case. You see, this morning I want to remind you of something, that the Lord does not necessarily, I guess you say, see things the same way we see things. Yes, Jephthah was refused because of his situation, but God would accept him and God would bless him in a great way. You know, I guess I want to remind you that the Lord is able to work at any time through anyone. Don't quit. Don't get discouraged if you rejected it, whether it's in your career, your personal life, or if a door is shut in your spiritual life. Don't get discouraged because you think you've been rejected or you're not allowed to do something. I want to encourage you to continue on. Don't quit. I'm reminded of Thomas Edison in a 1921 interview. Now, he was a great inventor. From my understanding, he failed. He failed more times than he was successful. Well, that was part of his, his work. And in a 1921 interview with him, they were talking about his persistence and his ability to carry on. And he told the story about how they had done many experiments and had failed. And they had finally gotten to the point, him and his assistant had gotten to the point where they had figured out that they believed they knew what was required to make it a successful, venture is what they were doing. Anyway, they failed. And he says that his assistant went to him and was discouraged because they had failed again and they thought they had everything figured out. And he went to him and just didn't know what to do or say. And Thomas Edison said this. He goes, I cheerily assured him that we had learned something. For we had learned for a certainty that the thing couldn't be done that way. Now that's simple, but he was looking at it in a positive light. Now you think about that. You know, often we get discouraged and we're tempted just to quit or to give in or not to move forward. This morning, whatever it is, don't quit. Don't quit. Put your faith in God, as we'll see here in a little bit, as Jephthah did. But I want you to notice that Jephthah continued. He very easily could have just left and, who knows, wandered the world and went and lived his own life. But the Bible tells us that he remained in the area and that he continued. It says there in Judges 11 in verse 3, it says, "And Jephthah fled from his brethren. And it says, and he dwelt in the land of Tob, and there were gathered vain men to Jephthah and went out with him." Here he goes to this land of Tob, away from his family, away from those who don't want him. I read where one man said, if someone doesn't want you, then go. You know, you're probably better off somewhere else. Anyway, if you're not wanted in a certain area. Anyway, he ran with a new crowd. And the Bible says that they were a vain crowd. Now that word vain means worthless. Could you imagine being called a worthless crowd? Imagine being in a situation that those are the only ones that would accept you, that you could run with. That's what happened to Jephthah. Now, I imagine it was probably others of similar situation. Maybe these were other men that had been exiled for different reasons. Men that could not go back into the country, that were not accepted with their families. And the Bible tells us that he went out there and he continued. There with those men, I'm sure he found encouragement. I'm sure he found strength. And the Bible tells us that they went out. And that's referring to his ability to go out into fight and into battle. This was a tough group, is what we find. This was a tough group of men who fought, and Jephthah evidently was their leader. So we're talking about a tough individual here, a man who wouldn't give up, a man who wouldn't quit, and as the Bible tells us, a mighty man of valor, a bold man. You know, believers this morning, I think we should be bold. I think as believers, not in our own abilities, but in our God. God has given us salvation. God has provided the power to do His work. God has provided us the boldness to be a witness and a testimony. We have the truth. And I think we should boldly proclaim the word of God. Anyway, Jephthah went out with this crowd, and the Bible says that he went with them. Now, we're not given the details of his life at this time, of all his actions. We're not told any of that. But here's something I do want you to notice. He didn't sit around and mope. You know, that happens. You get discouraged and you just want to sit around and mope and just be discouraged over what's happening. He didn't do that. He didn't find a corner to curl up in and just feel sorry for himself. He remained active. And from the words we find later in this passage, evidently he trusted God, because later when the elders come to him, he quotes Scripture. And he talks about his faith in God, or trusting in the Lord and looking to God. So evidently during this time, he must have trusted in God during this difficult time where he set aside and moved away. And by the way, I want you to think on something. God allowed him to go that direction. God could have prevented that had he wanted to. God's in control. And God allowed Jephthah to go out there and to lead that group. I imagine Jephthah learned some experience. I imagine he learned patience. He learned to trust in the Lord. And when the time came for him to lead the nation, he was prepared. This morning, if God has allowed something into your life, a situation, even if it's a difficulty or a hardship, if it's not brought on by your actions like sin, if it's something God has just allowed to come into your life, then trust that God has a purpose for it, and that He's preparing you for something, or strengthening you, or just going to provide for you in some great way. Jephthah was allowed to go on out there, and there I believe he remained active and he remained faithful to the Lord. So this morning, when you find yourself in a place or a situation not of your choosing, don't get discouraged, but live for God. You know, 1 Corinthians 10:31, "Whether therefore we eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God." You know, you won't find any limitations in that verse. It doesn't say when times are good, do all to the glory of God. It doesn't say when you get your way, do all to the glory of God. We're to always do all to God's glory, whether times are good or times are bad, whether we're being tested and tried or we're blessed greatly. We're to do all things to God's glory. You know, I was reading a story of about F.B. Meyer. He was a pastor years back, and a young preacher once came up to him and asked him how he could. He wanted to know. He wanted to be just as influential as a pastor as F.B. Meyer. You know, F.B. Meyer had written several books, and the Lord blessed his ministry. Well, F.B. Meyer looked at this young man. Here's what he told him. He says, "Don't waste your time waiting and longing for large opportunities, which may never come. Be faithfully handling the little things that are always claiming your attention." And I think that's good. You see, we don't know God's plan for our life. And if we're not careful, we could sit back and either do one of two things. We can sit back and be discouraged where God has put us. Or we can sit in that place and say, well, I hope God will give me this. And while we're discouraged or while we're hoping, opportunity to serve the Lord could be passing us by. You know, God may have placed us there where we could work right there. And that's the lesson for us. Jephthah, where he was placed, he was active. And he continued where he was. You know, if we're going to live a life of faith, we have to continue. We got to keep moving. Got to keep serving the Lord. And trust. See, this is where faith comes in. Trust that he has a plan for your life. Trust that God has not let you go or has not set you aside, has not forgotten you. You know, we know the scriptures, but we need to apply them when we get in difficult times. Trust that God is still going to bless you and going to work in your life. Trust that he is able to work. You know, if you're going through a difficulty right now, maybe you just need to trust that God is able to do something. And that'll give you the encouragement you need to keep going. That yes, my God is able. God is powerful. He can help me through this problem. He can help us through this situation. And so I encourage you to trust that God is able. And also trust that your present difficulty can be worked out for good. See, that's what we find in Romans 8:28, that God can work out all things for good according to his will. See, trust that your present difficulty can be worked out for good. No matter what it is, that God can receive the glory from it. And I'll tell you this morning, God can. He can work out anything in your life for good. And even our mistakes. Now, that's not to condone that we sin, but I believe even our stumblings and our sins, God can work those out for his glory and honor if we ask him to and trust in him and walk with him and seek his forgiveness. And so just put your faith in God. Be faithful where you are right now. You know, when you think of Jephthah, here's what I think. You know, today we're told by many that the past determines our future. And that's what a lot of people will tell you. And that's why so many people begin to look into the past to try to figure out what's going on in the future. I don't believe that. With Jephthah, his past didn't determine his future. If that had been the case, he had no hope or no chance. You know, this morning, the Bible tells us that our future or our present is what determines our future. As we're living right now, the decisions we make and the choices right now are important. Now, we can learn from the past, and we should. We shouldn't ignore the past. We should learn from the past. But we should also understand that we need to make correct choices right now. We need to choose to live for God and to walk with the Lord. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew 11. You know, there may be someone here who has a difficulty or a hardship that they're going through and that they're struggling with. You know, I think of Jephthah. That's what he had. It wasn't easy for him. Without a doubt, there was no way that it was an easy life. Rejected from your family, refused from your nation, no hope of ever getting back involved or ever having any, I guess you say, place in the nation that he had loved. And there he is out there. Now, Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28 says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." I think this is one of the greatest passages that we are given in the New Testament, because it's a practical passage, really, for each one of us this morning. If you have a problem, the Bible says there that we're to come unto him. I mean, that's a request. He says, "Come unto me." And it doesn't say just a certain few. He says, "All ye that are that labor and are heavy laden," referring to those that work first and then those that have burdens placed upon them, those that are heavy laden. You know, that may be you here this morning. Maybe you're heavy laden. Maybe something's happening to your life that you didn't choose to happen, but you're dealing with. Jesus says, "Come unto me." If that's happened to you, give it to me. And then he goes on to say, "Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I am meek, lowly in heart. You shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." You know, Jesus Christ will carry that burden. In other words, he'll provide the strength you need to carry it, the strength you need to get through. And that's what we find in the Bible, in the scriptures. Now, I don't know what Jephthah actually thought or what he went through, but I'll tell you this. He had a difficult life, and evidently he continued by faith, because later, as we'll see here in a minute, he referred to God's goodness in the scriptures of the Lord. So the past did not determine his future. He determined to be active and to live for God. Now this morning, I challenge you to do the same. If you can read here this morning, doesn't matter how old you are, if you can read your Bible. Read your Bible. Study the Bible. apply the teachings that are there in the scriptures, then seek the Lord in prayer and live by faith. You see, that's what it is. Reading the Bible, applying it, taking things to God in prayer, and trusting Him, living by faith. Jephthah was able to continue, even though he was rejected, able to continue. Secondly, this morning, by faith, Jephthah conquered. He was able to conquer the enemy that God had there. Let's go back to Judges chapter 11. Notice what happened in verse 4. And it came to pass in process of time that the children of Ammon made war against Israel. And it was so that when the children of Ammon made war against Israel, the elders of Gilead went to fetch Jephthah out of the land of Tob. What's that phrase, eating crow? Have you ever had to do that? Go back to apologize to somebody? Or go back and say, hey, you know, I need your help now. Sorry about what happened. Sorry about what was said. Could you imagine the humility that was required from these elders? You know, God allowed that to take place. This man was rejected, refused. He went out there, and evidently he not only continued, but he must have prospered. And these men saw a mighty man of valor, and when the Ammonites began to really make life rough, there must have been nobody else in Israel that they could put their faith in. Nobody else in Israel that they could trust to lead them. Nobody else in Israel that they could look to. You see, God can do that as well. God can make it where you have to follow the direction that He has. And that's what happened here. These men, I could just see them talking, and one of them probably brought it up one day. What about Jephthah? And I imagine I could just hear them in their meeting. Well, let's talk about somebody else. And they began to go down their list, and they kept coming back to, well, Jephthah's still there. And the Bible tells us that they went to Jephthah seeking his help, seeking his assistance because of the war that was being fought with Ammon. And it says in verse 7, and Jephthah said unto the elders of Gilead, did not ye hate me and expel me out of my father's house? And why are you come unto me now when ye are in distress? And the elders of Gilead said unto Jephthah, therefore we turn again to thee now, that thou mayest go with us and fight against the children of Ammon and be our head over all the inhabitants of Gilead. So they weren't just asking him to come back in. They were asking him to lead the people, to be the head, to be the judge, to be the one that would not only lead them into battle, but also that would lead them against the enemy of the Ammonites and basically to lead them after God. You know, when you think about this, Jephthah allowed his actions to speak for themselves. He was refused. He was rejected. He went out, lived by faith, and he allowed everything just to take place itself. You know, this morning, I think if we're not careful, we can worry and fret over situations or problems that are out of our control when we should just be living by faith and trusting in God day to day. That's what Jephthah did. I don't think he was interested in leading the nation as much as he was just going to continue living life. And the next thing you know, here come the elders and want him to lead the nation, all based upon, obviously, his track record. He was a mighty man of valor. He was tough. He was successful. He was victorious. You know what it comes down to? He was faithful and God blessed. That's all it was. As believers, let's be faithful. Let God bless. You know, we don't need to be boasting about all these things. Now, there's a difference between boasting and then just sharing a praise. You know, we should share praises with each other, how God's blessed us. But let's give God the glory and God the credit, not boast about what we have done. And this man here, he goes out there and he's faithful and the Lord blesses. You know, whatever direction this morning, whatever direction the Lord takes you in, follow Him. Go by faith. Trust that He's got a plan and that He'll bless you. And don't be discouraged because others say something, laugh, mock, make fun of you. They don't think it's possible that you could do that. They don't believe you're worthy to be a Christian or to serve the Lord in that way. You just go by faith and trust in the Lord. I'm reminded of one of our presidents, Theodore Roosevelt, before he was president. There's an interesting story about him. He was he was a go-getter. He was a man that was always on the move, always doing something. Well, at the age of 40, war broke out, and he immediately wanted to get involved. He signed up to go. You know, you hear the story of the Rough Riders. He signed up to be part of that. Well, there was a friend, a good friend of his. He was actually the Secretary of the Navy, a man by the name of James Long. And him and several of Roosevelt's friends disagreed with him to the point where they tried to talk him out of it. Because he was 40 years old, he had a family, and they didn't think he should be going off to war. And in James Long's diary, it was recorded, he wrote this. Speaking of Roosevelt one day, he said, he has lost his head and running off to ride a horse and probably brush mosquitoes from his neck on the Florida sands, he's acting like a fool. Well, in the margin, years later, Long went back and he wrote this. He said, Roosevelt was right. We, his friends, were wrong. His going into the army led straight to the presidency. You know what? Don't let people discourage you from going forward. You see, now with Roosevelt, that was his life. He went forward. That's what he believed he should be doing, and he went. When you live for God, have that same determination. Be faithful. Don't let anyone discourage you from reading the Bible. You know, people are going to tell you, oh, it's worthless. Don't waste time reading God's Word. That's not going to help you out. It's not practical. Yes, it is. Don't let anyone discourage you from studying the Bible. Don't let anyone discourage you from living a life of prayer. Don't let anyone discourage you from getting involved in serving the Lord. Be faithful. Be active. You know, Jephthah could have been discouraged because he was refused. Instead, he was faithful. He went out there, won victories, and now the nation of Israel needed him, and he was ready. You know, Jephthah respected the Lord. Notice verse 9. It says, and Jephthah said unto the elders of Gilead, if ye bring me home again to fight against the children of Ammon, notice what he says here, and the Lord deliver them before me, shall I be your head. Notice this. This man here, who has been refused and rejected, he may have had more faith than the rest of the people in the land. That's probably why God called him. Notice he says, before me, he says, and the Lord deliver them before me. He wasn't going to claim a battle or a victory. He understood that if he was going to win, it was because the Lord would deliver them. Now that's faith right there. Trusting that God is able to work in your life. And then verse 10, and the elders of Gilead said unto Jephthah, the Lord be witness between us, if we do not so according, he says, to thy words. Jephthah trusted the Lord. He believed the Lord could provide a victory. This morning, do you believe God can provide victories in your life? You should, because he can. He's all powerful. He's almighty. He's in control of this world. He can provide victories over temptation. He can provide victories over difficulties, over trials, over hardships. Put your faith in God. That's what Jephthah did. When you think about this, he didn't recall his great achievements. He didn't go to these men and say, well, let me tell you what I've done. Here's my resume, and here's why I think I should lead. He didn't rely upon his strength or his abilities. He basically said, hey, if God delivers them, will you allow me to be the head and the king, or the judge of the nation? You know what we have is a man who completely trusted the Lord, and he knew that God could deliver and that God could provide a victory. That's faith, living by faith. Also, when you look at the passage, you'll find that he referred to scriptures. We're not going to read the entire passage, but he basically sends a warning or a message to Ammon, or the king of Ammon. And basically throughout that message, we see him referring to things that had taken place before. How God had blessed the nation, how God had blessed Israel. And that's what he was relying upon. You know, you think about this. Jephthah's faith was founded in what God had already done. It wasn't blind faith. It wasn't Jephthah just saying, well, I hope something happens. He put his faith in a faithful God. This morning, that's what faith is. Putting your faith in a faithful God. Trusting a God who has never let anybody down. Trusting a God who is all-powerful. That's what Jephthah did. He trusted that God could provide the victory. You know, verses 21 through 23, we see that it was founded in God's word. It says there, and the Lord God of Israel delivered Sihon and all his people into the hand of Israel. They smote them, so Israel possessed all the land of the Ammonites, the inhabitants of that country. They possessed all the coasts of the Amorites, from Amron, even unto Jabbok, and from the wilderness, even unto Jordan. Now, verse 23, so now the Lord God of Israel hath dispossessed the Amorites from before his people, Israel, and shouldest thou possess it? Now, this passage here is a message to the king of Ammon. And here, Jephthah is saying, this is what God has already done. You see, what's happening is we don't have a man giving a threat from his own power and abilities. He's giving a warning to this nation based upon what God has done and what God could do. Yeah, that's probably a warning our nation needs today. We better wake up, because God has dealt with nations, and God has dealt with them because of their sin and their corruption, and God will deal with nations because of sin and corruption. And basically, that's what we have Jephthah here doing with Ammon. He's warning them of what God could do. And it was all based on the scriptures. You see, he knew God's word, and he trusted God's word. You know, this morning, if you want to live by faith, you have to know God's word. That's a necessity to live by faith, I think. Because if you don't know the Bible, how can you put your faith in what God is able to do if you don't know about God? You see, we need to read our Bible, study the Bible. I believe God's word is sufficient for our needs. It tells us how we can be saved, for by grace are you saved through faith, not of ourselves. It's a gift of God. We find that in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. Also, the Bible encourages us to rely upon the Lord instead of being dependent upon man or methods. You know, today that's the problem with many. Even some within Christian churches or Christian circles. They have become dependent upon men. They have become dependent upon methods. They have become dependent upon man-made ideas and schemes and no longer trusting in God and living by faith. This morning, read your Bible. Put your faith in God, of course, for salvation. But afterwards, trust in the Lord as you live for Him and as you really look to see what He would have you to do. You know, Jephthah's faith, I think, was not only in God, but also his power was because of the Spirit. I want to point one thing out to you before we get ready to wrap this up this morning. If you go down, we're in Judges chapter 11. And notice what it says there in verse, we move on down in verse 29. It says, "Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah, and he passed over Gilead and Manasseh, and passed over Mizpah of Gilead. And from Mizpah of Gilead, he passed over unto the children of Ammon." Basically, what we have here, the rest of this account is of his battle and his success and his victory by faith. But what I want to draw to your attention to this morning as we get ready to wrap this up is the presence of the Spirit in his life. You see, this was the power in Jephthah's life. It wasn't his abilities. It wasn't that he was such a mighty man of valor. It was the Holy Spirit moved in his life and worked in his life. You know, the Holy Spirit is the same today as he was back in the day of Jephthah. He hasn't changed. He's God. And the presence of the Spirit enables us to live for God. You know, in Titus chapter 3, it talks about the washing and the regeneration of the Spirit. The Spirit is the one who provides the work of salvation. He does the work so we can have a new life. Galatians 5 talks about the fruit of the Spirit. You do realize that's his fruit, not ours. We're not to go out and try to produce all these good works after we're saved. We're to allow the Spirit to work in our life, and He'll produce those good works. Meekness and patience and temperance, long-suffering, the list goes on. I think there's 9 of them there. And He'll produce those in our life. What we need to do is yield to the Spirit. Allow God to work in our life and seek His glory, not ours. You know, when we begin to seek our glory, when we begin to seek our desires and our wants, that's when I think we can quench the Spirit. That's when the Spirit can, He'll remain, but that's when He can be quenched. When we seek God's glory and we allow the Spirit to work, that's when He'll provide His power to overcome whatever troubles we may have or to deal with any hardships that may be in our life. You know, Jephthah prospered greatly. And think about this. This was a man that shouldn't have been successful. When you think about it, I mean, from the very beginning, he had a tough start, refused and kicked out of his nation. He shouldn't have been successful. He shouldn't have been a judge of Israel, but God worked in his life. He successfully defeated the Ammonites. He came back and he led the Israelites and God blessed him. You know, he was bold. Obviously, we don't have time to look at everything in his life, but he was a bold man and he had confidence in God. You know, this morning, I want to encourage you to be like Jephthah. Don't let a setback keep you from serving the Lord. And you may receive a setback in life. There may be something that'll come in your life, whether it's in your career, your personal life, or as you serve the Lord. Something may set you back a little bit. Well, don't let that prevent you from serving God. Get back in there. Be faithful. Serve God. And actually, you can probably serve God even greater afterwards. We learn from what has taken place. You know, Jephthah was rejected by society. I can't even imagine what he went through. You know, I've thought about that. You know, I've been rejected. By some people, I've been rejected by, you know, put in a application to work at places and sometimes hear nothing back. Sometimes they flat out say no. I've been rejected by different places. I could not imagine being rejected by my family and my nation. That's what happened to Jephthah. He was sent out to go on his own, rejected and refused. But God accepted him. God accepted him. You know, Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That's it. To be accepted by God, one must approach him by faith. That's it. Nothing else is required. You don't have to have power. You don't have to have popularity. You don't have to have great possessions. All you have to do is put your faith in God and you'll be accepted. I think of Jephthah. He didn't have anything the world would say he needed to be successful. He put his faith in God and he was blessed. This morning, put your faith in God. Like Jephthah, trust in the Lord and move forward. Who knows the direction God is going to take you? Who knows what plans he has for your life? But trust that he'll bless you. This morning, we're going to close with a word of prayer and have a time of invitation. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you for the blessings. I thank you for this testimony of Jephthah and his faith, Lord, in you. And I pray that you'll just encourage us today from this passage. I pray as we have this invitation, if you've worked in anybody's heart here this morning, that they'll take the matter to you and seek you in prayer. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to keep your heads bowed, eyes closed for a few minutes. As the piano begins to play, we're just going to have a time of invitation or a time of prayer. If you want to seek the Lord in prayer, I encourage you to do so. You can come down and pray at the altars, or you can pray right where you are. Just seek the Lord in prayer. If you have a concern or a problem, take it to Him. Maybe it's with faith. Maybe there's something that has come into your life that you just need to, like Jephthah, you just need to continue. Pray that you'll be able to do so and just seek the Lord's strength. Maybe there's one here that has questions concerning salvation. You know, salvation is a gift of God by grace, but we're saved by grace and through faith. It begins with faith as far as trusting in God and believing on Jesus Christ. If you have any questions concerning salvation, please come forward. Somebody can show you from the Bible what salvation is and how you can be saved today.